Now welcome Ms. Allison Auerbach. Allison Auerbach is a Community Health Associate at Health Resources in Action. She provides technical assistance regarding assessment and planning to the Boston Alliance for Community Health and 10 neighborhood coalitions. She also conducts community health assessments, program evaluations, and health impact assessments. Allison's HIA work includes designing and implementing an HIA training series for New England, engaging organizational and community partners in HIAs, and providing training and technical assistance to communities undertaking HIAs. Please welcome Ms. Auerbach.
All right, so good afternoon. Thanks for sticking with us to the end of this long APHA. So you've heard a bit about sort of some federal and state level HIAs. I'm gonna talk about a super local HIA that was conducted in Boston. And I'm gonna talk not so much about the results, but more about the process, and specifically community engagement process in the HIA. So I have no relationships to disclose. So just a quick overview of what I want to talk about. First, just so we're all on the same page, defining stakeholders and specifically community stakeholders. I want to give a brief case study of an example, like I mentioned, a local example in Boston, and then talk about a few of the benefits and challenges of stakeholder engagement. So just for some grounding, the HIA field, as set out by the World Health Organization, has four core values of HIA. Democracy, so involving a wide variety of affected and other populations impacted by a proposed policy or project in the HIA process. Equity, looking at the health effects and impacts on all affected populations, specifically the most vulnerable populations. Sustainability, looking at both the short and the long-term impacts, as well as the obvious and not-so-obvious impacts. And then ethical use of evidence, so looking at the best available quantitative and qualitative evidence and using that to make predictions. So I bring this up because I think community engagement is critical for all four of these values to be upheld, and so we need to consider community engagement and have that be a core component of health impact assessment practice. So when I talk about stakeholders, I generally think of these, so those people who are affected by the proposed policy or project, those who have an interest in the health impacts of the policy or project, like public health practitioners, those who have influence on the decision-making and implementation process, so developer or state or federal legislature, and those who have an economic interest in the outcome of the decision. So I'm sure there are others, but generally those who are impacted by the decision are who we think of as stakeholders. So just more specifically, some categories of stakeholders that you might think about when beginning an HIA. Everything from community-based organizations to small and large businesses, developers, service providers, HIA consultants, and I think most importantly, and why they're highlighted there, community residents and affected populations. So I'll go back to this for a second. So there's actually a great tool, a stakeholder analysis matrix, which a lot of practitioners use when you begin an HIA, just to think through, strategically think through who you're involving, how you're involving them, why it might be a benefit to you to have them involved, why it might be a benefit to them to be involved in the process. So certainly encourage the use of that and have used that tool in engaging in HIA. So I just want to go through a brief case study of an HIA that we did in Boston. It's called the Oasis on Beloo. That was named by a group of residents who were really the visionaries for this potential development. The site for this project is in Dorchester. It's a south and sort of southwestern neighborhood of Boston. And the site is a 23,000 square foot vacant lot along a commuter rail line. So the proposed uses for this site were a playground, teaching and production gardens, and a community kitchen. And the ideas for this really came from a group of residents organized in the neighborhood. So they were the ones who were driving the vision behind this, and as I'll mention in a second, they were the ones who we engaged in this HIA and helped to drive what things we were looking at, what were their concerns. So the developer and decision maker in this case, with the Codman Square Neighborhood Development Corporation. It's a local development corporation, a community development corporation in the local area of this site. So while it is certainly important to engage community in every step of the HIA process. I just want to touch briefly on sort of the heart of HIA, so scoping, assessment, and recommendations, and talk about how we engaged community through those steps. So as I mentioned before, we use this stakeholder analysis matrix to think about all the potential groups that we would want to involve in some type of advisory capacity. And we really came to the conclusion that we wanted sort of a key partners group that we would be more intimately involved with throughout the process. And those were the Cobden Square Neighborhood Development Corporation, so that local group, the decision makers, because we like to have decision makers close to us in the HIA process, since they're the ones that we're ultimately trying to inform. And then we organized a group of the Friends of Oasis on Beloo, so a group of local residents who live in the immediate area of the site that was looking to be developed. And so those two groups are really involved, as I'll talk through in a bit, in every step of the HIA, and they were really the driving force, the decision makers in how we moved through the process. And I was talking with Marjorie as we came in here. In Boston and Massachusetts, we're really fortunate that there's a strong link between public health and community development. So we have a lot of great resources for how to organize and how to connect with residents. Luckily there was a neighborhood development corporation in this area. There are some affiliates of the NeighborWorks America group, so community building and organizing affiliates. And then we have a lot of local community health coalitions, both in neighborhoods in Boston and around the state, that have been set up by the Department of Public Health to do planning and assessment. So we have a lot of great resources to tap into to engage community residents in HIA processes, as well as other, community health assessments, community health improvement plans. So I just mentioned that as sort of our vehicle and, our luck in having that that resource and those resources in the state. So in addition to having that sort of local partners, those key partners in an advisory group, we also put together a traditional advisory committee. So local public health groups, the Boston Alliance for Community Health, the Boston Public Health Commission, which is the local health department, as well as representatives, a few of them from the state health department, Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, so the regional planning agency for Boston, and a couple of other community-based organizations. So that's where we started with the community engagement for our HIA. We then moved with both groups into scoping. And our strategy for this was to first meet with the Friends group, so those key stakeholders, the local residents and the Neighborhood Development Corporation, and have them think through sort of these four points that are up here. So deciding what potential impacts could be on the community, having them prioritize which issues are most important to them as community residents who will be most impacted by this development. And to talk through with them, some of the connections between the proposed development and the health and health impact, health outcomes that could be possible from this, and then to identify potential data sources. So here's just an example of a pathway diagram. We actually found this exercise to be really helpful and a great one to engage community members in. So actually, they're very informed and understand the connections between a development and, the impact on their life, whether it be, what changes in their behaviors or changes in the, economic environment that will have for them. So we found it really helpful to go through the process of creating pathway diagrams with our key partners in the advisory group. And you can see there's quite a range of impacts. Mostly around chronic disease, some around environment, and then their vision for this space, this development, was really around social interaction. So they were extremely interested in looking at how the space could bring people together in the neighborhood and what effects that would have on mental well-being as an effect of social cohesion. So once we figured out what areas of the HIA we were going to focus on, we jumped into the assessment phase. The two key questions that we want to ask are, what are the existing conditions in the community, and then what are the potential health impacts of the proposed projects? So we have the traditional methods, so secondary data analysis, literature review. And then because this is such a hyper-local HIA, the data that we have is not really available for that small of a population. We can't get data at that granular of a level. So our friends group, our community resident advisory group, said, why don't we do a survey? So we, advised by them, put together an 18-question survey on behaviors, so taking some questions from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey to look at, what are those behaviors in the, population of the 10,000 people just right around this area. What are their perceptions of the neighborhood? How safe do they think it is? What do they think is needed in the neighborhood? And also some of their values. And I'll move on to this. So this is just a graph showing the results of a question that asked, what do you hope for this site, or what is most important to you in this site, so in this potential development? Access to fruits and vegetables, a place for small children to play, a place where neighbors can meet, a skill sharing program, or a youth program. These are sort of truncated versions of the questions. Because we didn't have great quantitative data on this local area, we had to base our predictions on something. And the predictions, have to be based on whether the local residents will use the space. So this is sort of a way of getting at whether they would use the space. If they value it for a specific function, they might be more likely to do gardening there. And so they would, have better access to fruits and vegetables, for example. So we, had to do some sort of unanticipated primary data collection to get some more local data, which is often a problem with small HIAs like this scale. So then we moved into the recommendations. And again, this was driven by the local residents, the friends group. And we helped them, and they helped us brainstorm and identify a potential set of recommendations. And of course, we wanted to ensure that those met their primary concerns about this site in the area. And then they prioritized them based on relevance, feasibility, and actionability, so that's a word, because we want to make sure that the recommendations for this site are meeting their needs, because they're the ones that are ultimately going to use the space. So that's just a brief case study, a little example of how we engage community in HIA in Boston. I just wanted to talk about a few of the benefits of community engagement, because there are benefits both for the HIA process as well as for the community that themselves are engaged in the HIA. So from our perspective, some of the benefits of engaging community members in the HIA process is it identifies key community concerns. We don't necessarily have that data otherwise. It brings important reflections of experience and knowledge and expertise. It ground truths findings and recommendations by ensuring that the lived reality matches the data we're finding, because often we don't have that very local data. So we want to make sure that the data we're collecting quantitatively resonates with the local community. Like I mentioned before, it supports the values not just of equity and democracy, but also sustainability and ethical use of evidence. It creates more support for the implementation of the HIA. The Neighborhood Development Corporation did go on to use both the fact that they had gone through the HIA process, but also the results of the HIA, the recommendations, to then go to the City of Boston and procure the land for the development. And another benefit of community engagement is that it can shape and shape communication and dissemination tools. What's the best way to communicate to both residents and to the local, I think it's Housing Community Development is the city agency that they were applying to procure the land. And then from talking with the Neighborhood Development Corporation as well as the residents post-HIA, some of the benefits that they noted were that it often allowed unheard voices to be heard. Not many people ask them, one, what do they want to see in this site, but also, what are their concerns around their community and health broadly. It also, they said it builds individual and community capacity to engage in community assessment and planning processes. It gave them a real concrete way of engaging, and they liked the HIA process, that it was sort of laid out and they could engage in a specific way through each step of the process. It also developed and enhanced community leaders. They really drove this process. They got to contribute to the issues that we looked at, they got to contribute to, and they actually, I forgot to mention this, but they implemented the survey as well, so that was a great leadership development opportunity for them. And they also said it valued their existing experiences and relationships in the community, because they could go out to their neighbors and ask them, you know, can you take this survey and tell us what you think about this site? You know, what are the potential impacts? So that was a good opportunity for them. And then from the Neighborhood Development Corporation, for them, engaging in the HIA process was a way for them to consider health and future decision making. As public health practitioners, we know there are a lot of links between health and community development, and this was one way for the Community Development Corporation to use health, maybe not an HIA process in full, but to consider health in their future decision making. So there are lots of benefits, but there are also several challenges, more than just these. But certainly developing and maintaining relationships is a time-consuming and difficult process in HIA and in general. With the diversity of stakeholders, including community stakeholders, it's really difficult and important to establish common goals and expectations at the beginning of a process. You know, who is doing what? What part are you going to have in the HIA? Are we depending on the Department of Public Health to collect our data? Are we doing that ourselves? What are the expectations of community members? How often are we asking them to be involved, and what do we expect them to do? And then, again, with that diversity of stakeholders, ensuring partner involvement consistently and across a time-consuming process can be difficult. So it's just important to think strategically about when and how you engage not just community but all stakeholders, and think about, you know, going to them rather than making them come to you. So I will just leave you with this quote. There's a stakeholder participation work group that's involved with a national HIA practitioner society, and I think this is a great quote that we should, you know, try to uphold when we do HIAs and engage a wide variety of stakeholders. So thanks. I'll take any questions. Yeah, I mean, it was actually a very forward-thinking Community Development Corporation anyway, so I think, I didn't say, but they were the ones who approached us about doing an HIA on this site, so I do think they're going to. This parcel of land had been sort of picked out of a bunch. It had been slated for another use, which was not what the community wanted to use it for, so that's why this one rose to the top, but I think they are considering, at least considering health in other developments and other vacant lot transformations. Mm-hmm. And then my second question is, what would that stakeholder engagement look like for a bigger project? Sure. So we did stipend. We had a couple, like four or five community residents who were given stipends to attend, I think, one meeting for scoping, assessment, and recommendations. So one each for those. And it was, I mean, it probably wasn't enough, but it was in recognition of them getting their time and their input. So we did, you know, build into our budget stipends for them. So I think they appreciated that. And we also met when they wanted to meet and where they wanted to meet. So I think that was helpful. Community engagement on a bigger scope, I mean, maybe you all can talk about how you've engaged stakeholders. I mean, I'm engaged in a statewide HIA right now, and again, we sort of tap into those organizations that are good at organizing residents or organizing around the specific issue. So they're often, at least in Massachusetts, coalitions of affected populations. So those are great resources, and usually just sort of doing some snowball conversations can get you to the right people.